Good morning. How you guys doing? For those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Caleb. I serve on staff here as the high school director, and we have been in a series leading up to Christmas Eve, and the series has been kind of like a look at the Christmas story through the lens of the key players. So the first week we looked at Mary, and then we looked at Joseph, and today we're going to look at Jesus. But before we get into that, it's nearing the end of the year, and I thought it would be appropriate to share with you the craziest names of 2021. The craziest names of 2021. And the first on that list, in lieu of the COVID-19 pandemic, is this right here. Pandemica. No, this is not the most popular. Oh, I also want to preface, like, if you're planning on naming your kids one of these, I'm sorry if I offend you. Pandemica. The second on the list is for you, like, you health nuts, if you're really interested in, it's this, right? Salad. Oh, thank you. You're way ahead of me. Great. And the next one, maybe not so healthy, but a different alternative, milk. Yes, it's getting crazy. I understand. I know that we in Danville love our wine. This next one is an Italian sparkling wine, Prosecco. Not champagne. That would be good, but nope, Prosecco. The next one is maybe kind of like a mean, yeah, like that's just mean. Like that's just mean. Like, come on, Monster, come here. Hey, Jimmy, can you go get Monster? Anyway, next one, my favorite. Not mileage. It's actually pronounced my liege. Could you imagine? Okay, here's the point, and we all kind of know it based off the laughter, is this right here. There's power in a name. There's power in a name. I mean, think about your name. Maybe it's not your given name, but it's a nickname that was given to you. And if you think about it, it could have at least had some type of impact on your life. My name, for example, is Caleb. And my name in Hebrew means bold. And it's based out of this story in the Old Testament where Caleb and this character Joshua go into the Promised Land. And they see like all these armies and they run back to the Israelites and they're like, it's scary, but we're gonna go. And God's like, that's my guy. Caleb is my guy. Now my name wasn't easy to pronounce for a lot of people. Like I had a middle school teacher who called me Caleb all year. Like I'd correct him, anyway. So it was a little frustrating, but it had deep and like a deep meaning to me in my own life. And all of the biblical characters, all throughout the biblical narrative, when God gives names to people, it's about their purpose and their identity and who they are going to be. I'll just walk you through a few of them. So Adam and Eve. Adam, the opening characters of the Bible, right when you open the Bible, God creates Adam and then creates Eve. Adam, directly translated from Hebrew into English, means human. And Eve, translated from Hebrew into English, means life. So the first characters of the Bible are human life. Their purpose is to be the first people to walk the earth, human and life. A little later on in the Bible, God calls Abram, which means exalted father, and he changes his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And it's all about this promise that God would bless Abraham's lineage, and through Abraham, the entire world would be blessed. And then in the New Testament, Jesus does the same thing with his disciples. There's a man named Simon who's a part of the inner three with Jesus. And Jesus changes his name from Simon to Peter, which in Greek means rock. Seems a little weird. But the promise to Peter was that he would be the pillar of the early church. He would be the rock of the early church and would help spread the gospel. So to God, there's power in a name. There's power in a name. It has purpose. It's their identity in a sense. It's their destiny. And it's no different for Jesus. It's no different for Jesus. We've been looking at the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story through those two characters, Mary and Joseph. And today we're going to look at Jesus, but specifically, I just want to focus on the names given to him at his birth. I just want to focus on the names given to Jesus at his birth. And what's interesting about his names is that for most of the biblical characters, It's the name is their purpose, their identity. Jesus' names are meant for me and you. They're meant for us. As much as they are meant for him, they're blessings for us. And just like we sang, what a powerful name it is. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's true power in the name of Jesus. So when Jesus enters the scene, right in Matthew chapter 1, he's given two names. And it's we find it in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 20, it says this. But after he had considered this is Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. And we're going to look at both of them. First, it's Jesus. So Jesus is an old Hebrew name. And the actual pronunciation would be Yeshua. It would be Yeshua. And the name directly translated from Hebrew to English is Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. Let me ask you a question. Do you know a good rescue story? Do you know a good story of someone being rescued or saved? Let me share one with you. About 10 years ago, my best friend, who's my current roommate, gave his life to the Lord. And shortly after he gave his life to the Lord and committed his life to following Jesus, he went to a small group. And at this small group, someone came up to him who was a friend of ours, and she said, hey, I feel like God gave me like an image that he wants me to share with you to encourage you. And the image was this. She said, I saw you like at the beach, and you were in the sand. And what was happening was, as the waves were crashing, the sand was going higher and higher, and to the point where you were completely submerged in sand. She said, and then out of the woodwork, God came over and pulled you out of the sand. And then she interpreted it. She said, you know what I feel like it is this. I feel like you're in bondage, or you have been in bondage to sin, to your past life. And God's saying, I'm going to save you from that. Then about a week later, after he was given that word, he goes on a beach trip to Santa Cruz with a few friends. And at the beach, my roommate, I love him. He's amazing. That guy is like, just wants to lay in the sand and do nothing at the beach. So he's just laying there in the sand, and a few of his friends are off to the side, and what they've decided to do is to dig two massive holes. And what they want to do is to create a tunnel in the middle of them. And so Kevin kind of looks over there and is a little disinterested, because he's there for play, not for work. So he's like, I'm not going to go over there. But then curiosity kind of draws him over. And a part of it, I think, is that he is like this. He can do this. He works harder and faster than most people. And so he's like, let's just get this tunnel built. Let's just do it. So when he arrives to the two holes, one is 6 feet deep and about 2 feet wide, and the other is the same. And so he jumps into the hole, and he's feet first, but he's crouched a little bit, and he's digging the sand like this. And he said, in the moment, the sand fully encompassed his body, a foot and a half deep. And he says, he's sitting there and his arms are stuck, and he's trying to move his fingers, he can't. He's trying to move his arms, he can't. Tries to move his legs, he can't. Tries to open his eyes, it's dark, it's cold. Tries to take a deep breath, sand. Everywhere. And he said in that moment when he was sitting there, he said, I knew I was going to die. It was cold. It was dark. I'm never going to see the sun again. I'm never going to tell the people I loved that I loved them and I cared for them one last time. I'm going to die right here. And he was like thanking God for his goodness in that moment, he said, because he had just been saved, remember? Just like a month ago. And he feels like he hears the Lord say something. He hears God say, it's going to be okay. I've got you. I've got you. And then he says he feels like the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It like wraps around his body. It keeps him warm. Another minute goes by. Another minute goes by. Another minute goes by. And then finally, he can start to feel fingers on his head. And like quiet murmuring, we got him. And they're digging and they're digging and they're digging and they're digging. And then his eyes are revealed. And he can see the sun again. He says it's like the first time he's ever seen the sun. That's what it felt like. It was euphoric. It was like God's promise again. You will see the sun. And then a little lower and a little lower, and then his mouth uncovered and five long minutes. They pull him all the way out. They take him to the ambulance. They do an EKG, which is a heart reading. And they find that Kevin, in the midst of intense stress, his heart rate slows down instead of speeds up. His body naturally conserves oxygen. What his friend didn't know when she gave that image to him was that as much as it was spiritual, it was a literal word. Yahweh will save you. God will save you. And that word is for us. The word that there's sand burying us. It's getting higher and higher. And Yahweh, God, will save you from your sins. Yahweh saves. Yahweh, that's the personal name of God. That means I am. That's God's way of saying, I am transcendent. I am the one who is, who was, and who will always be. And he's saying, I will save you from your sin. Sin is the term that the Bible uses to describe the problem with humanity. And everybody agrees, no matter what way of life that you follow, that there is a problem with us. And our souls cry out for us to be saved from it. Whether it's dysfunction, like generational sin that you've inherited, or it's the horrible thing that was done to you in your past, or it's the way that you've treated someone, or the way that someone treats you, sin is the source of all pain, all suffering, and all death. And the only one who can save us, the only one, is Yahweh. Not living right, not behavior modification, not being an activist, not being a humanist. No, we cannot save ourselves because we need to be saved from ourselves. I'm going to say it again. We cannot save ourselves because we need to be saved from ourselves. There's this moment I was reminded of it as I was preparing for this. There's this moment in the New Testament. It's like right when Jesus enters onto the scene and he's walking toward the Jordan River to get baptized, to meet his old friend, John the Baptist. And he's walking towards the river, and John looks over and sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh, who takes away, who saves us from our sins. But how? And many of you know the story, but just listen with fresh ears how he saves us. Paul says this in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. You know what he's saying here? He's referencing the thousands of years before Jesus entered onto the scene, entered into earth, and during the time that Jesus was on the earth, where ancient Israelites, ancient Jewish people, were required by law, by a God-given law, to make an atonement or a payment for their sins. And that payment was the death of an animal. Every year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, where God, where the presence of God was, and he would sacrifice an animal on behalf of all of the people to pay for the sins. He's saying that sin needs payment, and that payment is death. Does it sound intense? Yeah, it's super intense. But you want to know good news? That's not our rule. That's not our rule. That's God's rule. Because God's saying, you can never live up to my holiness. You'll never live up to it. And the law isn't gonna cut it. So he makes a way. And he sends Jesus. And he goes to the cross. And behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the people. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament was pointing to the cross, where God himself would make the ultimate sacrifice. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. There's a passage in Isaiah 53. It's this prophetic image pointing to Jesus. It's written about 700 years before the time, before the day Jesus was born on the earth. He says this, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities." The punishment that brought us peace, that means connection with God. Shalom. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The sand is getting higher and higher. The waves are crashing. Do you want to be saved? Yahweh saves. Second name is this. Merry Christmas. Second name is this. Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. It means God with us. John Wesley, who is the founder of the mainline denomination Methodism and was a significant revivalist in the 1700s. Could you imagine how many miracles he's seen? How many people he's seen saved? And he says this on his deathbed. The best of all is God with us. The best of all is God with us. God with us in our celebrations. God with us when you got married. God with you when you got married. celebrating you, championing your marriage, hopeful for the future. My sister-in-law just had a baby. I was thinking, God with her and her baby, in the delivery of her baby. God with you when you were a grandparent for the first time and you were like, I don't have to parent this kid, but I just get to play with them. And God's like, let's go. God with you in the highs, right? And in the mundane, just the day-to-day, but then also our lows. Our insecurities, our fears. When you lost your spouse. When you lost your child. And then in the depression that follows, and the anxiety. I remember, this is years ago, I struggled with an undiagnosed, but probably like a pretty chronic anxiety disorder. It was to the point where like I couldn't eat. Like I couldn't hold food down, and I actually wasn't able to stand for very long. I was bedridden for a few days. And multiple times I was bedridden, but I remember one specific time where like the anxiety had just was crippling. And I remember my dad coming into my room and like I had called out of work. I couldn't go to work. And he comes in and he's like, what do you need, buddy? I said, I just want to eat food. And so he made me a meal. And then he made me another meal for lunch. And then he made me dinner. I was in bed all day. And he like sat with me through it all. Just prayed over me. My family wasn't super wealthy, but I didn't really care. Because the best of all is he was with me. But that's not everyone's story. The tragedy is, one of the consequences of sin is when he didn't pick you up from the airport, from when he didn't come home for dinner, from when she wasn't there with you, when they didn't go to your game. We live in an area where it's easy for us to just be a person who gives gifts, but doesn't give presents. You know what I mean? And we think, I love you enough. I work with your children. We think that's enough. We think that's enough. Like, I'll just give them stuff and then they'll know how much I love them. I work hard for them. I hear it over and over. I never see my parents. I wish they were just with me. The heart of God, the heart of the Christmas story, is God with you. He's not just going to come and save you from your sin and leave us here. That's not what he does. He comes into our world, enters into our story, and is with us through the highs of life, championing us, and through the lows of life, where we feel like we don't have enough. We've lost it all. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the question. Where do you need God to be with you right now? And be vulnerable. Be vulnerable with your mind, with your heart, with your soul. Is it parenting? Is it parenting? Like, your kids weren't in school for a year. I spend time with them. They're not emotionally developed to the point where they should be. I mean, they're amazing, but they're tough. They're tough. And they're stressful. And I could just imagine, like, they're out and you're just like, are they going to come home? God, I need your comfort. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. Jesus. Maybe it's finances. This year has probably been tough on some of you. And leading up to Christmas, it's like, well, I got to buy and buy and buy and buy. And then it's like the debt just gets raised higher and higher. It's like, God, can you be with me? Help me with wisdom, with self-control. Be with me. Or it's an addiction, like it's coming up onto that time of year where it's like a trigger, Christmas, family. It's like, God, just be with me. We are so distracted. We're so distracted. So it feels like, even though we've been Christians for a long time, like, I want God to be with me, but I just don't feel like he is. The promise, and we say this verse a lot because I just feel like we need to hear it a lot. You will seek me when you seek me with all your heart. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. That promise is true. And you know how you know it's true? Because God came to earth as a baby to be with us in our story. That's hope. Hope is based off of what God has already done and what he will do in the future. We need that hope. And we need to just be undistracted, seriously. Like, I just need to be blunt. Like, just fix your eyes on Jesus. And not like in a legalistic, like, here's some more rules for your life. But seriously, if you're having a hard time finding God, have you sought him out? Have you fixed your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith, the one who wants to comfort you and love you and be with you? It's like any relationship, right? It's like any relationship. If you want to know the person that you are in relationship with, you got to spend time with them. Keep pushing. That's my encouragement for you. Keep pushing, keep pushing. Wake up, you know what I do? I wake up every single morning before I even grab my phone. And everyone's laughing because that's what we all do. It's like, oh, Instagram. No. Before I even grab my phone, I wake up and I just say, Holy Spirit, will you be with me over these next couple of minutes? This morning I woke up. Didn't sleep at all. A lot of adrenaline for this morning, as you can imagine. And I said, Holy Spirit, will you just be with me today? I don't want to speak. I want you to speak. But more importantly, for selfish reasons, will you be with me? Will you comfort me? That's it. That's it. There's power in the name of Jesus. You feel it? Yahweh saves. God with us. There's one verse I feel like just sums it all up. It's in Psalm chapter 34, 18. It says this: the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He's with us and he saves us. Another way that I feel like God can be with us and we can have those moments where we can reflect and spend time with him is through worship. So I thought it would be really cool if we took a few minutes, just as we're wrapping up, just going to sing a couple of choruses of the beautiful name. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. And you can spend this time to do whatever you want to do. I'll just set it up for you though. Some of you, you need to be pulled out of the sand. You need Yahweh saves. Enough is enough. I'm sick of drowning in my sin. I need to be saved. So this is a moment for you, if you want to just spend time with God and just have him save you if your spirit is crushed. Some of you just need God to be with you. And this is your opportunity to open your hands and say, God, will you draw close to me? One of the names of the Holy Spirit is translated into the one who comes by your side. And some of us just need the one who comes by our side, the Holy Spirit. So we're just gonna sing a couple of choruses. The band's gonna lead us. And if you guys wanna stand with me, and if you wanna extend a hand out, if you feel comfortable, you can lift your hands. You can sing if you want to. You can sit and contemplate and pray if you want to. The room is yours for just a few minutes. And let me pray us in before we get started. Holy Spirit, will you just come and be with us? Will you just show us you, God? Reveal your comfort to us. Reveal your love to us. God, if someone is here and they just need to be saved, will you soften their heart to receive your word? Let's sing together.